whether a Yid is allowed to go hunting. Now the Nevi Yehuda in Yerideas and Yonas and Yud begins by responding that as a matter of Hashkafa, we find in the Torah the hunters were people such as Nimrod and Esav. It's not a hobby for a nice Jewish boy. Now the Yehuda then continues that Lahalacha is usur as well. Why? Because when a person goes hunting, where do you hunt? You have to go venture deep into the forest, into the woods, which is a dangerous place to be. There are wild animals, and it's a sakana. To put yourself in a massive which can come to a sakana is awesome. And therefore, you're not allowed to hunt. Now, the next thing to realize is that now there's a problem. Because many people, for their parnasa, either go hunting or, in the very least, travel through the woods from one city to another, which can create or lead to a situation of a sakana. So if you've just paskined that on Cholamoid, your Cholamoid outing shouldn't be to go hunting, how do we justify the fact that people's jobs would either be hunting or similar dangerous careers? So the answer is, it's a Mefurish of Gemara. And this is Gemara that we learned this morning, and everyone probably thought it was just an agayah, so I have to go through it quickly. But the Gemara says that you're going out from the Elohim Noites Nasa, you can say Maz, all those that have a Kedesh, and this will be Elon, and Mothar, and Achme, and Miso, so the Gemara says very clearly that for a person's parnasa, for a person's job, it's Mothar to be Nichna into a suffix stuck on him. And that's why hunting as a hobby would be Asa, but if someone's career, he activates bombs or something, if that's his livelihood, if that's his parnasa, you have this Gemara, this is the Makar, why is to be Mothar? Now the Gemara continues going back to Baltolin. The Gemara says, Tanar Abaram, but Solon Kula Sok Soker, Yokal Afil Baltolin, I would think the Isser Baltolin applies even if you were never asked for the wages. Tanar Abaramer Itzko, Lidai Itzko. The Isser Baltolin is only when the worker asks to be paid and you refuse. If the worker didn't bother approaching you, he didn't bother asking for his wages, the Isser Baltolin will not apply. Now, the Chabad Chaim explains that the reason for this is that we assume if he doesn't ask for his wages, we assume he's being moichel. We assume he does. Now, it doesn't mean he's being moichel, you don't have to pay him. What it means is he's being moichel the din of the Yom Yitzin Tzara. He's not particular that he has to be paid today, before sunset. And therefore, since it's a Ben Adam HaKaveroi, it's a mitzvah between defining your obligations to your worker. If he's Mavazer, if he's Moichel, that's fine. God the Chavetz Chaim, if this is the chat, let's say the person finishes the job. He comes over to you, and you're on the phone. So he waits patiently for a minute or two, and you continue talking. He starts fidgeting, he coughs, clears his throat a few times, and you keep on talking on the phone. Finally, he gives up, he leaves. God the Chavetz Chaim, you're over and it's about telling. He never asked for his wages, but it's not a halacha. He has a din. He has to say the magic words, pay me. It's the Torah is telling you that if he doesn't bother asking for his wages, there's an implied mechila. We see he doesn't care. But if he came to your house and waited for you to pay him, the fact that you ignored him and he was embarrassed or he saw he wasn't going to get anywhere so he gave up and left, that clearly is not a mechila. And Chavetz Chaim says that you'd be over the Yisr. Now, Rabbi Yashiv takes this concept a step further. Say you have an employee, and every week, every month, the end of the month, his payroll is direct deposited into his account. When you hired him, that was the understanding, and that's what's been going on for the past 12 years. Now, if one day you don't bother depositing the money in the account, the worker will likely not know. He finishes the job, he goes home, he assumes that today will be no different than every other payday, and the money will be spent directly to his bank. He knows that over the past years he never had to ask, and he doesn't expect it. He doesn't even realize he's not being paid. So the Rabbi Yosef says in this case to be oyver bal kohen, even though you were never asked for the wages. Again, it's not a gederes hakosuv, it's not a din he has to ask. It's a practical matter that by not asking there's an implied mechila, and therefore any situation where there's no implied mechila, bal kohen would apply. Another example the Chofetz Chaim gives is what happens if the worker does his job, and then on the way, as soon as he finishes, he's in a car accident. He ends up in the hospital. Chofetz Chaim says, I'll tell him a little point. He's not asking you simply because he's not in a position to ask. He can't get out of bed. But again, since we have no proof he was Michael, then you would have a fear of Al-Solim, the only thing sorrow, you'd have to track him down. However, the Chofetz Chaim says an interesting halacha. The theme of Bal Tolin is, you have to pay your workers. He finished the job, he's entitled to be paid, he's entitled to be paid today. On the other hand, we don't find anywhere that the employer has to go chase down the employee. Let's say you hire someone to do a job, you ask them you have some real estate, you ask them to fix up a unit in Trenton. He finishes the job, and he calls you up on the phone, okay, I'm done. You tell him, fine. You come back and pick up the check. I'm ready to pay. The worker says, no, I'm not interested in traveling to you. You come to me. You have a chiyuv of bal teller. It's not my chiyuv, it's yours. So here the Chofetz Chaim says nothing to it. The mitzvah of bal teller is, or with some philosophical yitzcha, you can't withhold the wages. We don't find anywhere that the employer has an obligation to chase down the worker and go to him. Chofetz Chaim says that Adarabba, Mazakov Lekeva, the worker is the one that wants to get paid, he has to come to you. And if he chooses not to, there's an implied mechila, and you won't be there for the Yisr Bal Tov. So your responsibility is to make yourself available. Your responsibility is that if he comes, you'll pay him. But you have no proactive obligation to chase him down. It's a nice thing to do. You're mekayim a mitzvah that day of the yomi tikin tzara. And if you don't chase him down, he doesn't come to you. While you weren't over any iser, you did lose the opportunity to be mekayim a mitzvah. But you have no chiyuv to do it. He comes to you. Chofetz Chaim is mechadesh with one exception, and that is if the worker, going back to our case, if the worker breaks his leg right after the job, where he can't come to you, the Chofetz Chaim is mitzaded, he doesn't seem to say for sure, but he's mitzaded that here the employer would have a responsibility to go. It's just, all things being equal, the worker has to come to me. But if the worker has no way of getting to me, even though it's not my fault, it's his fault, the Chofetz Chaim suggests you would have a responsibility to chase him down and make sure that he gets paid his money. Check in the mail is a famous excuse, but doesn't help anybody. The key is dependent. Shlichus is because the time is asking the subject whether he could send a shliach. How do you know if when there's mitzvah, when there's a chiyuv d'oraisa, it's not clear that the chazaka is a shliach is a shlichus. Because the time is the subject. It could be if you send a shliach to pay, even if the shliach is a yid, perhaps you have to check up. Because how do you know it's a chiyuv d'oraisa? How do you know that he did what he was supposed to do? Okay, checks we'll get to them at the next week. Checks are a good point. The first question is whether you can force someone to accept the check. And the next question is, are you making the mitzvah with the check? Or do we look at when you hand it over the check or when it clears? But we'll have to discuss that a different time. Again, the Chofetz Chaim, if you look at it, it says both things. It says, be Magia him, or go and tell him. Because the Chofetz Chaim assumes to be Mesotek what the halacha is. The reason why he may have to come to you is, because again, you owe him the money. That means, he's the one that's asking you for the money, and he's the one who normally would be expected to come to you. But recently you didn't have it. It was aimless. There's nothing to do about it. So you told him, come back in a few hours. Now that he went home, he wants you to pay, let him come back and pick up the check.
You know he can't do what he wants?
Correct. Chofetz Chaim is Masechet. He doesn't say it for sure either way. But his thought is, it's never my responsibility to chase after you. I have to just have the funds available. So whenever if they are available, and I let you know that when you come, I'll pay you, perhaps that's enough. No, the assumption is workers want to get paid on time. If he is able to come and he doesn't, we see from Yitzchok and Gemara that our assumption does not hold true in this particular case. Because he has the option of coming, he chose not to, so clearly he doesn't mind waiting until tomorrow. If there is an oinus, we no longer have a proof that this is an exception, and we'll move back to the default that he wants to get paid, and the fee of Balkon would apply. The Chofetz Chaim suggests yes. It's only when all things being equal, he should come to me. If he can't come to me, and he can't send his shliach, which is uncommon, but he can't do either, the Chofetz Chaim suggests, then I would have an obligation to go visit him in the hospital and make sure that he gets paid. Okay, we're going to, 11:15, we'll have a couple of question and answer session, but let's try to cover some more ground. Now, even when there is a tour, even though you're not asked for the payment, the Zohar and brought down the Sar Mitzvah, and the Tshuva says, a person should be careful to make sure to pay his workers Apo Pitin. So although there is a Heter, you're not over the law, but it's not something that you should take advantage of. Now, the Gemara continues. I would think that there's a mitzvah of Yom Kippur Torah. There's a chiyuv to pay a worker on time. And therefore, even if the employer doesn't have money, I would think they're over. Don't withhold the wages by you. The isra applies only when you have the money and you're refusing to pay. If you don't have the money, the Gemara says clearly, you're not over the isra. Now, not having money is a very subjective term. Anyone who ever tries to collect debt, or if you have to collect tuition, tight economy, nobody has money. On the other hand, people are driving around cars, most people are, Baruch Hashem, life goes on. So what does it mean you don't have money? So if a person has any cash on hand, that's clearly itzchok, clearly has money, and the Balpolin would clearly apply. What happens if you don't have cash in the house, but you've lent other people money? People are watching money for you. The other Chofetz Chaim says also, that's called Yitzchok. It may not be cash, but it's the equivalent. Go ahead, collect the loan, collect the debt. If you can do it within 24 hours, which today may not be the case. But if you have money that you can collect, you have a chiyuv to do so to do kind of mitzvah of Balzalim. Now that means if you have money in the bank, go get into the car, drive to an ATM, and pull out the money. It may be loaned to the bank. It may be inconvenient to go out in the middle of the night, but there's a chiyuv of Balzalim, and clearly the Yom Kippur story would apply if a person has money in the bank. Now, a very common situation is, people will come home, kind of have a babysitter, they'll come home after late at night. They don't have cash, they don't have change. So they ask the babysitter, do you mind if it waits if I pay you the next day? Now most babysitters don't really care that much. They're not using this money to feed their family, and they're fine, not a problem. And there are a few points to realize. The first is, you're out of your district. The babysitter said, it's fine, I'll wait till the next day. But you've just lost the opportunity to be Mekayimimus, to be Mekitzin Chor. So certainly it's appropriate on the way home to stop by an ATM, pick up some change, and to be Mekayimimus. But the next issue is, what happens if this babysitter was, your neighbor has a 12-year-old son who's very mature, and you hire, he was doing the babysitter. Here we're dealing with a cotton. So it's time, right? This Altala applies both to a Gadol or a Kohen. If you hire a child to do a job for you, there's a chiyuv of Altala and there's a chiyuv to pay him on time. The problem is, while a Kohen has a chiyuv of Baltalim, you have to pay them, a Kohen can't be Michael. And therefore, when the child says, okay, pay me in the morning, that mechila is not a good mechila. And therefore, Igros Moshe says, it's quoted by the Mili's in Ezekiel, that if you have a Kohen, you cannot rely on their mechila, and you have to make sure to pay them immediately. Excuse me? Okay, well, every worker, if you don't, the Chavetz Chaim in the end of Avos Chesed, at the end of his discussion about Tolan, it goes through a whole arichos, how when you hire a worker, make sure to make up exactly what he's getting paid. If you don't, the default is going to be basically the minhag, whatever the norm, he'll actually get puckets of a pilon, because whatever the normal range is, you'll owe the bottom of that range. Because if they wanted more, they would have to speak it out. So that amount, there's all going on. Now, okay, that's a good point. Maisi Adayim of a cotton is a machlokes, but the Ramah Paskin, the Maisi Adayim belongs to the father. However, in Lumbus, you have to know what this means. Alpi Paskin, you owe the child the money, but there's a din. Just like if a child finds a Messiah, Chazal said it belongs to the father. So by Maisi Adayim, it's a bit of a machlokes, but there are most the Ramah Paskin, it also goes to the father. But the money is owed to the child, Alpi Paskin, and when the child receives it, the father now has a skus in that money. But if that's the case, the chiyuv of Baltalan is the wages are owed to the child, there will be Baltalan to the child, and you would need his mechila. Now there is an option, although a child cannot be mechila, is when you hire the child, you negotiate terms. You tell them, this is how much I'm going to pay you. So when the job is done, you're going to owe the money based on the term, because that was the agreement, and that was on that job, they took the job. If when you hire the child, you say straight out, I'm not going to pay you right away, I'm going to pay you tomorrow, then that works. Because now, the pshat is not the child is being moichel baltalan. The pshat is that the whole agreement was, you're going to do work for me today, I'm going to pay you tomorrow. And that agreement is binding. You don't need mechila of the child. This is the actual deal itself. And this would work with kuleyama. Now there's another case, there's actually a sefer on baltalan, where they write the same as certain gadol, that if you tell your child to go clean up their room, and if you finish nice, if you do a nice job, we'll have ice cream for dessert. So bring over a stock halacha, the only thing in Kara. You have to make sure they get the ice cream before it's here. Like this stock to me sounds very suspect. Now, you can argue in Lundus and you can argue with Sia. In Lundus, you can ask the questions like this. There's my buddy Ksais in Yeshiva. If you go over to a person and tell them, I'll give you money to put on tefillin today. And he puts on tefillin. So do you have to pay him? So my buddy Ksais in Yeshiva. The Yeshiva is asking, they know. Chiyuv Tolan is I hire you to do something for me. Or, I'm a nice person, I hire you to do something for my neighbor. If I tell you to do something that you have to do anyway, then this Chiyuv says, that's not Chiyuv Tolan. I wouldn't have to tell you. So we can clear. If the child had a chiyuv to clean up the room anyway, and even if, not for their own, but at least of Chiyuv Tolan, once you told them to do, they have a mix of Chiyuv Tolan. It could be there's no screen of toilet. But again, if this is an issue, I wouldn't rely on this source for two reasons. First of all, the Nesiva itself is not is arguing on Ksais, and the Mordechai passage sounds like a Ksais. Second of all, even Nesiva says, this only applies when I go over to someone and say, you put on tefillin and I'll pay. We're being done for your benefit. What about the following idea? I'm carrying something very heavy. I'm an older gentleman, and I see a young person. Go ahead and listen, do me a favor. Help me carry this load, and I'll pay you. He carries the load. I tell him, I'm not paying you. You had a mitzvah chesed. We have a mitzvah, right? And it seems in Madhur Shniya writes, he's really assigning to Akashic movement. He says, say nothing to him. This only applies when you have a mitzvah, if you're a mitzvah, nothing to do with me. If I offer you money, I can say mitzvah anybody. It's not serious. On the other hand, if I tell you, I hire you to do a mitzvah which is for my benefit, then everyone agrees it is a good serious payment and you don't owe the money. So, if you're telling your child to do a chore where you're benefiting from, even if they have a mitzvah of kibud av v'em, since it's for your benefit, it would be a serious payment. Well, I'm claiming you're not hiring them. I'm claiming you're buying them out of that. Okay, a promise. There's an issue of medical namkar. There's an issue of serious payalim, and there's an issue of a promise. As far as a promise, if you give a word to your child, you certainly should keep your word. I'm not coming to say you don't have to keep your word to a child. Sayo halacha and sayo terrible chinuch. We're discussing whether the din of about calling applies. Now, I would suggest it doesn't. For a very simple reason. When you tell your child, clean up your room and I will have ice cream for dessert, are you hiring your child? Is that an employee? And did you ever hear of a person, a child never loses a father, becomes a yosem, they file for unemployment and say, no, you're not hiring them. You're telling them, go clean up the room, that's your responsibility. As a bonus, we'll have some ice cream for dessert. It's not serious hiring, it's not an employer-employee relationship. And therefore, L'chaira, under normal, stable houses where the relationship is healthy and done normally, I don't think Balcon would apply. Again, if your relationship is such where, you know, a very formal relationship, you hire your children, you quit, you fire, you negotiate salary, I don't know, you have a shayla halacha. But under normal circumstances, I don't think it would be such an issue. Now, let's go back to Yitzchak. If a person has cash available, it's Iska, he has a fee of about help. If he has a pikodin or a halva, he lends somebody money, clearly he has an obligation to collect it, and if he's able to, about help applies. What happens if he doesn't have money, but he has a line of credit? He can borrow money. So here, it's brought down the same by Rizal that a person, to meet the chassidus at least, a person should even borrow money in order to do a kind of mitzvah yomi kitzin korah. And that reason is clear, you know, the sheikhs that bring him down make it clear it's not a key of nikar hadin. Now, even about tolerance, if you don't have the money, the fact you can borrow doesn't mean you're right for the yisr. But, the chachilah, if a person could, he should borrow the money to him kind of the mitzvah. The Chavos Chaim takes it a step further. He suggests, perhaps, there's a chiyuv. He says, if you have ready access to credit, it may be considered itcha. Now, just make something very clear. It means we're able to pay it back. If you're going to borrow money and not be able to pay it back, that's not a mitzvah of yom kippur. Sorry, that's an issue of gezel. Assuming you have a way to pay it back, it's a question of just you have you need the cash today. There, some time is mitzvah that may even be a chiyuv. In the very least, he says it's like sisis. Sisis technically, if you're not going to wear a beged of valid conquest, there's no need to wear sisis. Yes, everyone in this room, when he woke up in the morning, put on a towel of cotton. Why? What's the chiyuv? Just don't wear a towel of cotton, you don't have to put on sisis. So the Gemara Menachos and Daf Yomah says that even though technically that's true, still, if you have an opportunity to make to be nichnas into a chiyuv of a mitzvah tzaseh, you should do it. And if not, you get the Eden Rizqa, when there are times of Rizqa, where there are times of where there's mitzvah tzadin in the world, people get punished for not doing mitzvah aseh that they could have. And therefore, the Chavos Chaim says the same would apply here. If you're able to borrow money, you certainly would have, you certainly should go out of your way to try to borrow money to be in the kind of the mitzvah.
I assume
there's
something in the mitzvah aseh.
Correct. We're talking about you have an opportunity to do, like sisters, you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, and therefore you have a fee to do, or you should do whatever you can to be nichnas and to be in the kind of mitzvah, even though you have a loophole, you have an escape if you don't happen to have cash. Now this leads us to another basic, to a basic question that came up a few times. The Rizva that we saw this morning says that Yitzchak, that if a person has money, or if he has merchandise that's ready to be sold, That's considered ethical, and the mitzvah of Baal Tzolom would apply. What happens if he doesn't have cash? He doesn't have merchandise ready to be sold, but he owns a house. Own a house. You have equity. Go sell your house and pay the worker. It takes a very strange look. L'chayra, when a person has paying a worker on time, there's a lot. There's a lot of stuff. Besides the law of Loisom Pulah Sakhir Chavaika, there's a mitzvah of Yerushim Tzkara. We all know, if a person's in a situation where he's going to be over a law, and in order to avoid being over the law, he has to take a tremendous hefzid, what's the halacha? He's included to do that. You're included to give up all your money before you're over a law of Daraisa. So the question is, why is Baal Tzolom different? There is God clearly saying, if you have merchandise and you're going to sell at a loss, you don't have to. Why not? L'chayr is a lot, and l'chayr you're able to avoid the iser by selling merchandise, by taking a loss, you should have a chiyuv to do that. So, the Tzuva in Yardei and Tzibukum and Zayin brings down an interesting lapalik. By a lav, to avoid being labor a lav, a person is mechuyev to give up all of his money. By a mitzvah saseh, this doesn't apply. If the only estrogen down costs half of your net worth, you have no chiyuv to spend that money to even kind of mitzvah. So the machlokes is, what is the difference between a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah kol saseh? The rivat, mistechem, bar kipsutai. What if I say is more chomer, you have to give up all of your money. I say is less chomer, the chiyuv doesn't apply. Many achronim argue, and they say the point is not whether the mitzvah is or lois say or mitzvah saseh. It's not the point. The point is whether it's sev al taisa or a maisa v'yadaisa. In other words, you're never allowed to proactively do something which is connected to mitzvah. And if the question is, can you go ahead and eat chazer, when you're doing an action, you're eating something trade, there you can't do it, you have to give up all of your money. Ma'aseh, if it's not a question of proactively doing a maaseh, which is awesome, it's a question of being passive. I'm not going to do something, and by not doing something, I'm going to be over an aseh, or I'm going to be over a loisaseh. There, according to the Prima Gadol, and according to Chavis Yar, and according to others, this chiyuv doesn't apply. Now, you only have to give up all of your money to avoid the iser when you're doing an action, when you're physically doing it, proactively violating the iser. But if it's passive, this doesn't apply. Baal Tzolom, how do you enter Baal Tzolom? With an act? No, it's passive. Just simply by not paying the worker, you're over the iser. And if we're pointing to these achronim, that's why there's no chiyuv to give up all of your money. The problem is, this only helps us halfway. This means you don't have to sell your house. You don't have to lose all of your entire net worth in order to avoid Baal Tzolom. But Baal Tzolom is also a mitzvah aseh. A mitzvah aseh, while you don't have to give up all of your money, that lucky is not claiming. So while you don't have to sell your house, you just still have to sell your car. Because on chaymes, you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, it's key to do so. So, selling it at a loss. Okay, selling it at a loss. If it won't be a loss, then it'll cost. The Medina in Dayanim Simin Yotet suggests an interesting answer. What he suggests, and it's a tremendous chiddush, is that this halacha, that a person has to give up all of his money after every nisr, is only by an issur bein adam l'mocher. By an issur bein adam l'chadera, he says, or achar dake noyam, he says, it's not mistavra that I have to lose my house so that this worker should get paid a couple of hours earlier. And Rabina says that halacha does not apply. And that's the issur of this concept. It's a tremendous chiddush. And we do find the adam l'chadera, we find, for example, the Chavetz Chaim says that if a person is going to lose his job by not saying Lashon Hara, he's mechuyev to lose the job even though it's his entire panasa. So, unless there's a difference between Lashon Hara and Baal Tzolom, it's probably a machlokes. But this is at least, this is the Imre Dina's chiddush. Rav Tam, in a Tshuva published in Hamasifta, touched on them, hey, to the beautiful animal. Let's go back to the Rizvah that we saw today. What does the Rizvah say? Itzchah, she is Itzchah. Tirus, she is Itzchah, daughter to Tukul, the Pari boy, actually. Valtolin applies when you have something that you can pay without a law. Kigoin Mori, if you have cash. V'oichlin, the kind of Makira, or if you have food, you have merch, or the thing that would be merchandise that's ready to be sold, you have a key to sell it and pay the worker on time. Your personal items you don't have to sell. They're personal goods. To me, it's the aim of dummy. It's like you don't have money. Zucker Pam, the Gemara that tells us itcha, that if you don't have money, you're not over. It doesn't mean it's absurd, right? If you don't have an esther, do you have to take esther? Yeah, you have a chiyuv of an esther. If you don't have it, you're an oinus. So oinus not more upon you. What the Gemara is teaching us is if a person doesn't have money, it's not the pshat that he is a chiyuv to pay, but there's an oinus on baltolin. The pshat is there's no baltolin in the first place. Baltolin is when you have money and you refuse to pay it. And therefore, what does the Rizvah mean to say? The Rizvah is defining where baltolin applies. It's a itcha. It's only considered itcha if you have cash, or if you have merchandise and you don't sell it and you don't pay your worker. My thinking, if you have no money, the fact that you have a house, which in theory you could sell at a loss, the fact that you could sell your car is not called itcha. You don't have any accessible money, and therefore, but from the word itcha, from the drash of itcha, we're excluding, you're not subject to Baal Talmud at all. So this is the case. If a person has money, there's a fee of Baal Talmud, he has to pay. But if he has no money, the fact that he has goods, he has merchants, he has a house, he has a car, he has assets, since these are not things that are in the Mesira, since these are not things that are normally sold, Baal Talmud doesn't apply in the first place. And by not paying, he's not being over any gifter. He's not being over the law of Ba'inus. He's not subject to this or to the in the first place. And that's why Baal Talmud would not apply. Okay, hold on. Let me just turn this up. Now, this sounds like a tremendous cool. Because what we're saying is, if you don't have cash available, Baal Talmud doesn't apply in the first place. And it is. It's a tremendous cool. But on the other hand, it comes out from this a tremendous cool. Because it comes out from this, if a person doesn't have any money and he has merchandise, we're saying he's not subject to Baltolin. And he doesn't have to suffer any loss to sell his personal belongings to pay. On the other hand, what happens if he has money, but he has to pay the worker, and he has to pay his bank? Now, if he doesn't pay the worker will come back on Monday and he'll take care of it then. If you don't pay the bank, they're going to foreclose. There'll be a tremendous effort. What's that law? So it depends. If you want like Imrabina's dead, the only thing you can start is the other Mechaveh, right? There's no halacha that you have to give up all of your money to not be able to lobby another Mechaveh. If that's the case, no matter where the loss is coming from, you can go pay your mortgage to avoid that hazard. My saying, if we go with this answer from a pump, there the answer is, his shot was that if you have no cash, you only have a house. That's not called Itzko, there's no Balkan. But if you have cash, but just if you pay the worker, there'll be a hefty because now there's a bank, there's a foreclosure, whatever the hefty will be. Who says that much? And if we're according to this, there will be no makar for any such hefty, and it could be the chiyuv, the regular cloud that by a loisa say mukuyiv to take any hefty would apply. Not going to pass on Allah lemaisa, but it'll come out of naskamina between these two shittas. Okay, at this point, again, the seer is over. If anybody needs to leave, feel free to do so. I'll answer questions from here for anyone who wants to. Okay, so there's two things. What you're doing is you're being done your time as a fraud. The pasuk does say, the able to do this now, sir. But it's clear from the Gemara that in our seer, the mitzvah of Al-Talon also applies. And Ani comes first, there's a Kedima the Gemara discussed, but after Baal Talmud does apply. So we can't take time of the Quran and run with it. You can't say that if a person is not going to suffer, I don't have to pay him on time. Now you're bringing up a new point. You're bringing up, let's balance the pain you're going to cause by not paying against your personal star by pay. That's the Imrabina then. But it's a chiddush, because who gives you the right to make these judgment calls when there is a chiddush? But again, that is Imrabina's approach. He also makes clear that the obligation, as far as who has to come to, he has to come to you. So if there's a traffic jam and someone has to brave through the traffic jam and try to get there, it's his achrayus to get to you. And if he doesn't get to you on time, it's not going to be your problem. You are in greater mess. So again, you went over your kind to be, as far as the mitzvah says, you obviously didn't sorry, you didn't pay him on time, you weren't kind. Were you ever alive? If he had a chiyuv to get to you, and then on the way to you, a few minutes before shkiyah, his nana, you're off the line. There's nothing you can do about that. It's only when Chafetz Chaim is mechadesh, that when he breaks his leg, you can get to him and he can't get to you, there you would have to go to him. But if you have a problem where it's as near as you can get to each other, it's the default is that it's the worker's responsibility, it's not the employer. It's only when he can, and I can, and here are the Chafetz Chaim is mechadesh that I have to do it.
The halacha is
if he doesn't come to you, he doesn't get any money.
And you have to mevar that there was.
You don't have to know. That's the halacha. If you learn Talmud, you don't have to go call him and ask him why weren't you being today. The default is he doesn't ask. That means he's not ridiculous.
So it's only if you know specifically there was something, then you have to say, you really didn't want to come.
Correct.
Even though.
Correct.
So even though before you were saying, he didn't really want to come, it's chazak if he does.
Again, you're not, again, the halacha is, what it sounds like, there's no law at all. In a situation where you know there's an oinus, and you know this case is different than the halacha than the Gemara, then you'll have to worry about it.
Even though he said, I was trying to come to get you. I didn't.
Again, that's a different idea. That's. Correct. Probably not, because he didn't get paid. He doesn't get it for another few days. His instructions were wait 3 days and pay me on Tuesday. That's also, you're following his instructions, but you haven't actually paid him. There's actually a story about that. There's a story that they overheard that someone came to yeshiva in Brisk, and he realized he had to pay a worker, so he decided to be mezakai de'achek. And supposedly he went to the Brisker Rav, and the Brisker Rav said, okay, what you did was good. This story is a little suspect, because really for two reasons. Again, you want to go haskafa-wise, the eilu noita is not so, he needs the money to feed his family. All the zikoye de'achek is not going to help him feed his family. But again, if you want to go more technically, is that called a schus? If I'm a worker and the person owes me money, now normally, if you decide to be mezaka, you give someone a present and someone makes a kinyan on my back, that's a schus. It's all for my benefit because now I have the present. In this case, if it's not a zikui, you're going to have to chase me down. You have to pay me today. If you're mezaka to somebody else, I may not see the money for another couple of weeks. So I would question whether it's called as good giving it to him. That Mm-hmm. So that requires the question of taking a hefset for taking a hefset, and or if yeah, that's an expense. That's an expense. That's called having. With a CD, we can clear maybe it's like merchandise that does not own the mechir, because it's not meant to be taken out until a certain time. Which way? Again. So it's again, if you work for Microsoft and they're broke, Mr. Gates doesn't have to pull money out of his pocket. And it clearly wouldn't be about Bell. On the other hand, if you work for an individual and he happens to, someone who works for an individual who happens to be incorporated, but your relationship is with him, then we wouldn't differentiate between the tax accounts. It's a sticky question. It just comes up as default all the time. You know, is your claim against the person or is it against the corporation? So the issue of the right of Baltolin applies that day, and once he's medical, there's no more Baltolin. There is an issue of the Kabbalah of Alzheimer's Lareich Aleich Vesoyes. Anytime he asks for the money, and you're in a position where you could pay it, you're either an issue of the Kabbalah by pushing him off. Seems Aleich Vesoyes. We'll mock her essay. The only piece of cutter also applies with is also subject to Itzchak. He doesn't have money, he's not even the Itzchak. Again, it's hard to pay when you don't have money. If you've got money, now it's Itzchak.
No, in the case of the person does nothing today, and you give 10 over 10.
Again, when you're not tzviya, when there's no tzviya, it means there's a mechila. So there is discussion whether some say that perhaps you're not the kind of mitzvah. But again, the moment you come to him with the money, at that point, forget the mechila, he's ready to take it. So the you would be in kind of severe and peace and chari should be the cooling out. But again, there is, some people do question that a lot. Okay, if you're going to push the walk off down the road a couple of weeks and say Nehecha Teisa, I hear the argument. But let's assume they're both before name. So the Medina Svar is saying the Rechor Dak and Noyam, it's not Mistavra. The Torah says, so that he gets paid before Shia, I should have a major loss. If that's the case, the longest or where the loss comes from shouldn't make a difference. It's only if the Torah comes from Itzchak. The Hochia Baltolin is when you have money, certain things are not considered having money, then we have to look at is it Itzchak or not Itzchak. But if it's a general svara, then I don't think there'll be a difference what the source of the Hasidut would be. Thanks.